Now, the warehouse for Kenny's Bookshop in Galway has turned into somewhat of a treasure trove. Back in May, we spoke with Sarah Kenny about finding two gold coins, or it could have been three, in the spine of a book that were worth about €5,000. And then last night, they, as in Kenny's, tweeted about their discovery of a signed copy of Roald Dahl's Matilda, which could have been there since he visited the shop back in 1987. And Tom Kenny from the bookshop joins us now on the line. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Ray.
Good to talk to you. So you're chairman of Kenny's Bookshop.
I'm the Elder Lemon.
You're the Elder Lemon, yes.
Yeah.
Well, great. It's good to talk to the boss man. Thank you. So this is a great discovery.
It is, yeah. And of course it brought us all back because, God, it's what, 35 years ago now.
Yeah.
Our mother was always at us, Ray, you know, you should invite Roald to that bookshop. And like that was kind of like inviting God, and we thought, he'd never. But anyway, really, in order to keep her quiet, my brother eventually wrote to Roald, and he wrote straight back. And I'm actually looking at his letter now, and he says, "You have sent such a charming invitation that it is very difficult for me to refuse." And he goes on a bit then, and he says, "I'm not quite sure what it is I could be doing, except maybe signing lots of books. So please advise me." I remember we simply couldn't believe it when this letter arrived. And
can you remember, just before you carry on there, Tom, your brother then, who wrote the letter, why was it such a charming letter, and why did it catch the attention of Roald Dahl? I'm sure he got a lot of letters.
Yes, I'm sure he did. My brother, Des, he wrote that how my parents had met, fallen in love, had no money, it was during the war, and they decided to set up a bookshop,
right. Which
everybody thought was just a lunatic kind of idea at the time. And they did, but they were young, they were in love, they didn't care about hard work. They loved books and reading and so on. And, you know, it began to evolve and evolve and evolve from there. And he also described how the centre of Galway had changed from being quite a drab place with an awful lot of derelict buildings and empty spaces. It was at that time turning into what they all now call the Latin Quarter.
Yes.
And it was full of small lanes and streets and little shops and artisan shops and things like that. Very exciting kinds of... And it was a very lively place.
Yeah.
And he also described how we were running street festivals, and in particular, in our neck of the woods, it was a children's festival. And it was a two-day festival that we were going to have the following year, and we would love him to be the guest of honor.
Ah, you see, there you go. So how could he refuse with that?
Well, he didn't. This was the whole joy of it.
So you got this letter. You go, he's coming. He's coming. Roald Dahl's coming. Yeah.
And of course, it fired up the entire... My brother described, by the way, the... a lot of the activities that took place during the Streets Festival.
Mm.
And when he was here, Dad, he was amazed at this. He told us more than once that nowhere in the world that he had ever been was there anywhere that took such care of and encouraged their children so much into all kinds of art forms and fun and song and dance and painting and all kinds of activities.
Yeah.
And he simply loved that. And we understood why when we watched him in action then. He arrived on a Friday evening with his wife, Lissy, and his daughter, Ophelia. And the first thing he did was he came into the building and he walked all around us. And then he told us, he said, "This is where we will do the signing from."
Right.
And here are... He didn't say, "Here are the rules," but that's essentially what he was telling us. And rule number one was quite simply, no child is to be disappointed.
Right.
That's all. And that was the main thing. So we had been warned by his publishers that under no circumstances were we to pre-publicize this event, which was terrible. We wanted to tell the world about it. But we obviously told enough, because from very early the following morning, and for two full days, there was a queue up to the top of the street.
Wow.
I remember the first morning in particular, because suddenly there was Paddy Maloney and all of his children. And I said, how did you get here? Well, my children are addicts. They're Dahl addicts. So we were on the very early morning train. But there was a whole lot of others. We had to run from the station to stay ahead of the others in the queue.
And this is, of course, long before social media. So, the word got out and spread like wildfire, obviously.
It did, exactly. And once, of course, that people knew he was here, it spread even more.
Yeah.
So the queue went on, and it was fascinating to watch. Now, Roald Dahl suffered very badly from arthritis, and his hands were all completely gnarled. But he signed books for two solid days for everybody. There was thousands of photographs taken of him with families, with individuals, with groups. He had a word for everybody. Now, you would get a middle-aged man coming in and kind of shyly saying, would you mind signing this for John, please?
Right.
And I would say, is John your son? No, it's me. You know? Very shyly. Now, he would sign the book and hand it over. But it was the kids that really interested him and fascinated him. And I remember I wasn't in the room with him, only occasionally. It was my brothers and my father who stood beside him all the time. But I remember one fella, he was about seven, he came in and, "How are you, Mr. Dahl?" "Hello. You know the best thing about your books? You know that bit where she takes the gun out of her knickers and she shoots the wolf in the head?" And Dahl was a very big, tall man, and now he's coming down slowly to meet this fella to the same level. And they had about a 5-minute conversation. And he did that with an awful lot of the kids.
Yeah.
And you knew exactly where he was getting it from as well. Like, it wasn't all just coming out of his own imagination. He was feeding off the imagination of many other children as well.
He was probably more comfortable in the company of children than
without question.
Yeah.
Without question. And when he walked up and down the street during that festival, he had a word for anybody and everybody. But he stood and watched the kids. They might have been doing drawings on the street. They might have been making kind of plastic things, all kinds of different activities, doing little plays, dancing. He stood and watched and looked and, you know, spoke to them all the time.
Maureen, your mother must have been chuffed. Was she like, she was alive to see it?
She was thrilled.
Yeah.
She was absolutely, well, everybody was. I mean, he was an absolute charming man. I'm sure he could be very nasty if he wanted to, but we never saw any of that.
Yeah.
He was a terrific people person. He would tell you, you know, he gave out to one hotelier because the salmon he got wasn't, it was farmed salmon.
Oh, right.
And that wasn't what he came for.
He came for wild salmon.
Exactly. Yeah, and he got it as well, by the way, as it happened.
I believe he bought a Bonine cardigan as well.
He did, yeah. We had this extraordinary man across the street from us, Sonny Malloy was his name, and he had a very traditional drapery shop. You could buy galluses, you could buy canvas for your curragh, you could buy all kinds of things, and handmade Bonine jackets. These never had any buttons. They had pockets, but that was it. And
that'd be an Aran cardigan, would it?
Traditional West of Ireland fishermen.
They'd be very fashionable now.
Well, they weren't then. They were very fashionable then.
Yeah.
You can't get them at all now, hardly. I don't know of anywhere that makes them anymore. But
going back to the book, Tom, because it's Matilda, signed by him.
Yeah.
It's a first edition, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So back in the day, of course, signed copies of books weren't as common as they are now.
No, and certainly Dahl books were not.
Right.
As common.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah. so what value do you think would people put on that?
At least 1,500.
Right. Okay.
There are some minor for a real collector of first editions. Our book, they wouldn't be really happy with it.
It's not pristine.
There are a couple of minor defects on it.
Right, okay.
But that means that's what it's worth, at least.
And do you think it's from that day or those 2 days?
We can't be sure.
Yeah, you see.
Signature is instantly recognizable for us, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And are there photographs of him in the bookshop?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. In fact, we had a lady the other day. It's very interesting. She was telling one Ronan, who works at the desk, about how she remembered as a young person standing for ages outside the bookshop. And she wasn't quite sure why she was there. And then I met this big man with a red jumper. and as she was talking, she saw the photograph behind Ronan on the wall. Oh, my God, that's him. And it brought it all back.
Isn't that lovely?
And now came this big, long story of her reminiscences and memories.
And, Tom, before I let you go, and I know you have the warehouse there and I shop online, which and all that sort of thing, you must miss the bookshop there on Shop Street.
Yes, we do. Yeah. I mean, see, we woke up one morning and we realised we were selling more books online than we were on the high street.
Yeah.
And the cost differences were extraordinary. So we came to a decision to move the books out of the building. We stayed on in the art gallery end of it for a while. But when the downturn came, we just couldn't justify staying there. So we moved the gallery back out. Now we're in a kind of an industrial warehouse type situation. Ever since we got here, we've been trying to recreate the kind of character that the building had in the middle of town. But it was an old medieval building.
Mm.
So, yes, what we miss, of course, is the footfall. So the people wandering.
Yeah, and I remember, for example, there were thick walls in that, because I remember sitting in on a windowsill reading a bit of a book. You would have been able to do that, wouldn't you? Yeah, back in the day.
One part of the building went back to the late 1400s.
Ah, I see.
And that's why they wouldn't let us do anything with it.
Right.
And that was why eventually we had it became not very efficient for us in that sense.
It was
a beautiful building, full of character, and full of characters, as I say, with the footfall. Now, we still have a retail bookshop here. We don't have anything like the footfall, but most of the business that we do is online, but in fact, people still come. And we have lots of readings and events and poetry book launches and people coming to do signings, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, and the passion your family have for books lives on, and that's
oh, it does.
That's
it does.
At the core
the
of it. Third, that's at the core
the
of it.
The third generation are there now, and happily, they still have that passion,
Tom, thanks for talking to us. Will you sell that on, or will you keep it, or what?
No, we have sold it.
Oh, you've sold it. It's gone, right.
The moment it went online, my daughter put it online. Ripped up.
Tom Kenny, chairman of Kenny's Bookshop in Galway. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for talking to us. Have a good weekend. See you now. Bye.
God bless. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.